Thank you so much for staying with us after the first hour, or if you've just switched on, you missed an interesting debate, mostly about immigration and the EU Immigration Pact, and it might well be worth a listen back. You can watch it back on YouTube, or you can listen back on the podcast a little later on. Before I get to some of your comments, I just want to give a heads up to those of you who may be interested. The €10,000 home makeover extra cash giveaway is coming to a close. The lines are going to be closed a little later on today. So it's your last chance if you want to be in with the chance to win a €10,000 home makeover in association with Foy & Company. And one lucky winner will win on around the Northwest. What would you do with €10,000 in your home at Foy & Company? Not only that, we're also giving away €5,000 in cash. You can do whatever you want with that. Let Foy & Company help transform your space with their interior design team, who can help you with everything from paint to wallpaper, furniture and home furnishings, and it's all under the one roof. So if you want to be in with a chance, and hey, the first ticket could win, the last ticket could win. It is an open draw. All you have to do is go on to highlandradio.com and buy your tickets. You can buy one ticket for €10 if you wish, 6 for 50 or 10 for €80 if you want to put different names on them, all your own name. That's completely up to you as well. So you can go onto our website, highlandradio.com. It's safe and secure. If you want to give us a ring and be sure that you're in that draw, call us now on 07491 25000. The team ready to take your calls. So if you want to buy a ticket, you never know, today could be your lucky day. 07491 25000. The lines are open for less than 2 hours. It's a €10,000 home makeover from Foy and Company, €5,000 in cash. And let me say, and I'm saying this in all honesty, there are some massive entry draws that are run and people take part in. This is for us in our region, okay? So the numbers aren't quite what they might be elsewhere. So you're in with a better chance, but everyone has the equal chance. Of course, you know that, don't you? So if you want to buy a ticket, call us now, 07491 25000. You could win that €10,000 home makeover or €5,000 in cash. You don't have to answer a call or anything like that, by the way. So if you're at work, you don't have access to your phone, don't worry about that. What happens is the draw drum is in Foy's. That's where the draw will be made at 1:30. We pick out a ticket and you win. That's it. You win in that moment. Now, if we can get you on the line and congratulate you live, fantastic. It's not part of the package. So if you want to be with a chance to win, and it's this plain draw, get your name into the draw drum. €10,000 home makeover draw in association with Foy & Company. €5,000 in cash. John Bresson's giving that away at about 1:30. And the lines will close, just to make sure absolutely everybody gets into the draw drum, the lines will close at 12. Right, just a couple of requests here. Can you play a request for Leanne Gordon and hubby to be on their wedding day today? Have a lovely day, the two of you. And it's going to be nice a little later on weather-wise as well. Please wish happy birthday to John Patrick O'Donnell Creasler, the milkman. It's his birthday today. Hope he has a great day from Jason, Rosemary and James. And please put a shout out for the under-15 soccer team from Loretto Letterkenny, who are playing in the Ulster final this morning at Leckview. It's at 11 a.m. All support from family and friends would be greatly appreciated. Good luck to you. Right, okay. Now, on to some of your comments here. Young graduates love to travel and stay abroad, but they want to come home, maybe, and buy a home. That's the deterrent. Jimmy is a good fella, but unfortunately wears the party hat and speaks the party line. The town is a mess. Must be Letterkenny, they mean. And I don't mean because I believe it's a mess. It's just when people reference the town, it's normally Letterkenny. The town is a mess. Every bit of new infrastructure they build has a knock-on effect. Now they're going to remove a roundabout at massive costs for lights, like the Polestar upgrade will be useless to the worsening congestion. Speaking as a mum, grandmother and aunt of many family members who've left Ireland because of the cost of living here, no houses, etc., your panel are totally out of touch on this matter. Another, Jimmy is completely detached from reality. If he believes every young person in Ireland is leaving for the crack in the sun, he shouldn't even bother standing for election. He's insulting the thousands leaving that see no future here and zero prospect of buying their own house or even renting one, as the prices have rocketed since the influx of immigrants. They are a way to try and gather enough money for the enormous deposit they'll need to buy even a basic property. Shameful, says that listener. Hi, Greg. I'm part of a walking group, 16 of us. A lot of us were Fine Gael, but we're not voting for them the next time as they let too many people from other countries in, and we'll tell them so when they come knocking, looking for votes. Thanks, Greg. Roll on the election, says another. This time we can vote for people who will listen to the people. Greg, true, the government aren't planning ahead for the future for housing, but remember when the crash happened, all these ghost estates were all over the place. The government's answer was to demolish them. I mean, these could have been kept as the economy started to get better, could have been taken over, made into social housing, complete in the minute thinking. There's no foresight. Look at the children's hospital. See, they couldn't be told it was in the wrong place and it's still not finished. Really, Greg, these people on your panel have absolutely no idea what's happening here. You're not out of touch, Greg. It's a two-tier society in Donegal and all over Ireland. Why do we need so many migrants to work here, asks a caller. Because our future replacement population are being aborted in their thousands. Where is the compassion and pity for these Irish babies? Greg, you're certainly not out of touch. Some are holding on tight to be able to stay. Okay, I'm glad I'm not going mad because... You know, the majority of the people I know, or the families that I know, their young ones are going because they don't see a future here for them. And that's just the facts. Rent is incredibly high. So even if you couldn't buy a home, and not everyone wants to buy a home, some see it as an anchor. You know, and I see some logic in that as well. I wonder what, if I didn't build a house, would I have taken different decisions in my life? You know, owning a house is not the be-all and end-all necessarily for everyone. But when you're looking at rents at 1,200 quid in towns around Donegal that used to be, you know, 400 or 500, you have to say, well, what job in Donegal, you know, could pay that? A lot of people working in different areas simply wouldn't be fit to pay that type of money. So Ukrainian refugees and immigrants are housed and fed. Ukrainians have been here for over 2 years. They're still getting free accommodation. They don't have to tax their cars. They have a wage or either a job or social welfare. The Irish people are getting none of these benefits. What do the panel think of this? There's 193 countries signed up to the Charter of Human Rights. The United Nations is supposed to be a safe haven, yet many are fleeing from these countries. Absolute rubbish, Jimmy. Young people have no other choice but to leave, says another listener. Greg asked your panel, what about Poland and Hungary who are taking no refugees in? Well, Poland has taken in, I'll get the figure, but they have at least hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians in their country. Ask Mr. Kavanagh why the council won't give individuals planning permission to build log cabins or modular homes with more people, which more people could afford. Another, why are our well-educated, skilled, qualified young people having to leave to work still all over the world? Another here, listening to the lawyer and politicians, and it's still the same as usual. They're not listening to the people they are supposed to represent. They've got no right to sign us up to something that affects our control of our own borders or our pockets without knowing the full facts. Stop, look and listen was an old rhyme for safely crossing the road. Maybe our rep should start repeating this now in relation to handing over our sovereignty. Greg, a question. If there are Ukrainian children in classrooms, are these classroom assistants to support our teachers? Are there extra classroom assistants to support our teachers? That's a question I just can't answer, and probably varies from school to school as well. The migrants coming in are highlighting the inefficiencies of our services. We need to have changes within the government. The migrant issue is just creating a smokescreen for what's going on within the government. That comes in from Anne. I will get to more of these as the morning progresses, but they've come in their hundreds, and I do want to take the bingo numbers in a moment, but I'll stick with this just for a minute or two. Sinn Féin say their stance on immigration is not a U-turn. Greg, is there a policy recently they've not done an about-turn on? Perhaps the party should change its name to SF Serial Flippers. That comes in from Jim. Another, Ireland should consider adopting the Danish left-wing approach to mass immigration. Denmark has taken the lead on this issue. They've opted out, haven't they? No mention on the doorsteps. Simply not true, says a listener. Another, busloads arriving in small villages is not a myth. Our town has already one hotel which was filled with Ukrainians. Several houses rented, including yet a full coachload, did arrive full with all men for one night before they moved on. Fact, not fiction. Another caller says there's a lot of talk this morning about refugees coming into the country, but no mention of our own homeless people in Ireland. I did mention the homeless people. What are we doing for these people, or are we only focused on refugees? Lots of excuses from Jimmy. No solution, says a listener. Well, he believes the EU migrant pact is part of the solution, in fairness. Hi, Greg. Future migration. Ridiculous that we haven't dealt with the existing. Plain and simple. There has been no plan regardless of security databases. We know we were getting migrants. We also knew that the economy needs migration. The few are making a fortune, but the many are going to be involved in the backlash. Health, education, bursting as is. But the elephant in the room is integration. Seriously lacking now. Rural towns changed utterly too fast. Well, you know, integration is certainly an important factor. Hi, Greg. Europe can't be the saviours of the world. There are plenty of wealthy countries in the Middle East who should be helping their neighbours. Asia and the USA should be taking more people. It is their wars that do this. USA, obviously, it's a huge... It's going to be a massive election issue in the US migration. Their migration comes from the south, of course. I'm not quite sure of the situation in Asia. There's a bit of controversy, actually, in, I believe it is China, who have changed their rules, their immigration rules, because... they have an aging population. The rate of births has fallen through the floor. They've actually even changed their limits on births. I believe it is China. I will double check. But now they are opening up their borders for people to come in and work because they are short-staffed in certain areas. So that's happening in Asia. In the Middle East, an awful lot of the work that's done in and around the Middle East is workers from India and elsewhere. I'm not sure what rights they have when they're there. They're not refugees, of course, but the actual indigenous population of, say, somewhere like Dubai is minute compared to the foreign workers that are in there. So I don't know how that talks to the point of what the Middle East could be doing better. Of course, maybe you're talking about Turkey and the Gaza situation. I'm not really quite sure. But if you dig into it and do a bit of research, things are changing globally, even in Asia. You're fighting a losing battle here. Human rights lawyers never admit there are thousands of criminal gang members and gangsters queuing up to get a piece of the action. She doesn't mention the Albanians, Somalians, Algerians and other nationalities that now run cities like London. Says that listener. I could do the next hour on comments alone. I am going to get through as many of them as I possibly can, but we do need to take this break. Stay right where you are. Back with more on the 9 till noon show in just a couple of moments. Now, we're joined on the programme by Lisa Corley, a member of Friends of Rosnala. Lisa, thanks for your time today.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Right. I mean, it's an ongoing conversation and it comes in peaks and troughs, doesn't it, as it relates to proper facilities at one of the most popular beaches in the county, Rosnala, one of the most popular areas.
Yeah, so I suppose yesterday kind of a lot of people would have seen the headline kind of the Donegal Democrat talking about overflow in sewage and kind of public sewage over the county council car park over the Easter period. And I suppose this follows kind of a number of different incidents since the beginning of the year, but also over a number of years about public toilets being an issue in Rosnala and the current inadequacy of the facilities. And what we're really happy, the Friends of Rosnala are really happy about at the minute, is that the local councillors all together are starting to lobby the councils to get adequate facilities there. And as a community, there's a real growing consensus that we need community proper adequate facilities there. We've talked about it for so long, we really need to get them into place and action needs to be taken.
What's currently there and what problems persist?
Since the beginning of the year, and actually just on Good Friday, we had into the County Council car park more plumbed in portaloos. What had happened was they hadn't been used for a number of years, the sewage pipes, these are, so they were blocked up. And what happened then was this caused an overflow of sewage down into the County Council car park. But what we, the Friends of Rosnala, are calling on is a purpose-built facility, mm-hmm. not these plumbed-in portaloos, but a purpose-built facility. Because these plumbed-in portaloos are, you know, they're not proper facilities, they are more likely to block up and to present issues. The other kind of big issue is that the kind of longer term conversation about this is that, you know, if Rosnala got public toilets, they need maintained. That problem is a current problem. The current maintenance is not adequate. It's not frequent enough. And we need the council to make sure that over this coming summer period, that the frequency and the adequacy of the cleaning, of the current cleaning that is happening of the public plumbed in portaloos is adequate and provides people who are coming to visit in the area, tourists coming to visit the area, spend the money in there, that whenever they're doing that, that there's a basic facility there, a toilet facility.
And I think, too, what people should try and put their mind in this area, if they can, before breakfast or after. Like, just if we get one good week at the end of April, for an example, this is even not besides, this is even not being the summer, and there's a big influx of people, which there always is. Imagine as bad as a toilet could actually get in terms of overflow, blockage, stuff in the toilet, not in the bowl, all that type of stuff. That's what we've seen before. And that's an inevitability with the current setup there. It is absolutely revolting. But why is it taking so long for anything to be done, Lisa? Is it because Ross Nala is sort of between two stools? From a Dáil perspective, it's in Sligo, to all intents and purposes, if you know what I mean. From a council perspective, you know, are the councillors often maybe looking west and northwest? It just feels that Ross Nala, for me, it feels it's kind of caught between two stools, and it's a constant battle just to get basic services in there.
I think the longer term story is that back in 2020, Ross Nala got investment from the council for public, the council car park invested in, and we got a children's play park. And at that stage, public toilets were kind of passed off the agenda, almost as if, you know, Ross Nala had got a share of public finance allotment at that time. But it's 4 years now, and we are in a position where we need to again look at the infrastructure of Ross Nala, and we need to get that commitment from the community, from local representatives, and from the council to actually permit to action. And one of the issues has always been to put it on the long finger, to go, well, what is Ross Nala? What does in-season and out-of-season mean? And that has been the point of frustration, because there are sort of two different conversations. We need public toilets. There's consensus about that. We need action on that. Broader conversations about bigger community facilities or kind of bigger investment into Ross Nala is sort of a separate issue. And on that, what we need is the local representatives to have a town hall meeting with the people in Ross Nala. Ross Nala is a really engaged community. People love Ross Nala. You know, the broader kind of, the Friends of Ross Nala has almost 7,000 followers on our Facebook page. That is the reach of the love for Ross Nala. And the council has to come, listen to people. What does the people want? But the first issue is the toilets. We have consensus on that.
You see, Lisa, that the problem exactly with this is the two things I was just about to mention, Lisa. The problem is this, and I think we need to have an open conversation about it. It's about maintenance. We've removed bins because they attract rubbish, right? And we don't have the schedule to clean them. It's the same with toilets. Is it time we say, right, okay, well, let's start charging for using the toilets? I don't know, whatever it might be, or maybe there's enough of a tax incoming, Ross Nala, that should cover it. Either way, I don't think the fact that we don't really seemingly have a proper plan to maintain bins and toilets, that should be the reason why we don't establish permanent proper facilities.
I completely agree. And I suppose the Friends of Ross Nala, one of the ways that we are working together with the council to try and sort that issue of maintenance and kind of give ease, is that currently we have an outsourced company coming a number of times a week. That needs to be upped, and that also needs to be increased for the picking up of litter, because currently we have volunteers up into their 70s emptying bins 3-4 times a day, multiple times a week, which just is not sustainable. But what the Friends of Ross Nala have actioned, and you know, we're going to see more about this in the next few weeks, is to try and get people from a community employment scheme to come work with the Friends of Ross Nala to assist in the maintenance. So if you are living in the locality of Ross Nala, Ballyshannon, Ballintra, and you are eligible for a community employment scheme such as TUS or the Rural Social Scheme, so if you're a low-income farmer and you would be up for working on a community employment scheme, come and get in touch with the Friends of Ross Nala. And that is part of our plan with the council, to try and provide that kind of day-to-day maintenance that's going to be required to try and find a solution to this issue.
Okay, well, it's being raised again at the right time in the approach to a local election. And I think really at this point, people want firm plans, not just commitments, because we've been down that road many a time before. And we're heading into another summer, unfortunately, where while Rathmullen and Slieve League and other areas enjoy decent facilities that are well-maintained, that Ross Nala, which has a massive influx of people, is again, we're going to be going over the same stuff this summer again. I just know that because people contact us all the time about this issue. But Lisa, for now, thank you very much for joining us, and we'll touch base again, of course.
Thanks very much.
All right, Lisa Crawley, thank you very much indeed. You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Now, you across the Northwest are being urged to support Cystic Fibrosis Ireland ahead of 65 Roses Day on Friday, the 12th of April, which is today. Donegal people are being urged to help Cystic Fibrosis Ireland meet its fundraising target of €300,000 on 65 Roses Day. A couple of guests we have in studio, Mark McCarron, who is living with cystic fibrosis. He was diagnosed when he was born. Well, as a child, and you really started to feel the impact in your teens and chest infections, hospitalizations. Last time I spoke to you, you were on a new medication that was working well for you. Hopefully that's still the same, is it?
Yes, all brilliant, yeah.
Okay, very good. Stay with me, because also on the programme is Fergal Smith, fundraising manager with Cystic Fibrosis Ireland. Good morning to you, Fergal. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning, Mark, and thank you very much for having me on the show.
Right, so today is the day. How can, before we talk about that, talk to me about the work that Cystic Fibrosis in Ireland does.
Sure. Well, Cystic Fibrosis Ireland look after people with CF across the country, and we try and help them directly with the likes of our exercise grant. So exercise is really important to clear the mucus from your lungs and keep yourself healthy. We also help with counselling, because the mental health challenges of having CF can be, you know, quite significant, and that's a service that people look for all the time. We help with fertility treatment, because infertility is one of the side effects of CF, and we help people start new families with funding towards fertility treatment. And bereavement grants, so when somebody passes away, there's costs involved, and we help out the families, and things like transplant as well. So there's a lot of costs associated with that. So like, those are all the direct supports we provide to people with CF.
And Ireland, if I'm correct, has one of the highest rates of CF in the world. Why is that? Do we know why that is?
There's no exact answer, but I think the view is that it's related to the small gene pool we have in Ireland. Mm-hmm. So if two people have the gene that's impacted, there's a 1 in 4 chance that they'll have a child with CF. So 1 in 19 people in Ireland are carriers of that altered gene that could cause CF. So, you know, I suppose that's really the answer we have.
Yeah, and the number of people living with CF in Ireland is increasing, and to some extent that's a good news story, isn't it, in that there have been improvements, thanks to the generosity of the public and research and what have you. There have been improvements in treatment and care, so people with CF are living, some of them, of course, are living longer, more fulfilled lives.
No, absolutely. You know, and a lot of that is down to research that has gone into CF drugs, which have made a significant impact on the quality of life for people like Mark. And you know, young people now being born with CF are on these modulators from when they start. So the damage done to their lungs, digestive system, other organs is reduced. So more people living with CF, which is great news. Brings a bit more challenge in terms of, you know, the services needed then, because things like helping people get employment and stay in employment, helping people get housing with mortgages, helping people as they start a family. These are all new things we wouldn't have been thinking about 10 years ago. So great. There's great advances in the medication, and it is great news.
And Mark, why did you decide to you know, put your name to the campaign this year and sort of to get involved in helping CF Ireland raise much needed funds?
I suppose for me, especially during COVID and all, CF Ireland were very good. Always checking in, make sure, you know, the mental health, because I was living on my own, so it was kind of isolating as well. And then I have used the exercise grant as well over the years, which has obviously probably allowed me to get to this stage, you know, keep well enough. And
because too, with the likes of CF Ireland, obviously, you know, there's the fundraising element, but without organisations like CF Ireland and other organisations that represent people pushing the agenda, pushing the conversation, we really wouldn't see the advances, the improvements that we are seeing in people's outcomes, people's lives, and the supports for people, because no one's coming around offering it, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Like, even the last just couple of years, like, the amount of people that's more aware now of CF from the new modulators coming along, and, you know, the kind of the ad or the fundraising that CF Ireland has been doing through the social media channels and all.
And I mentioned briefly too, you know, you've had a tough life up until now, but you recently, how long ago did you start taking this new drug to you anyway, and what impact has it had on you?
It was July 2021, so it was. The impact it's made on me has been, you know, it's hard to believe. Like, I could never imagined 3 years ago that I'd be in this health.
Has it lessened your hospitalizations and chest infections and what have you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't had to be admitted to hospital with a chest infection since I started the drug. Mm-hmm. I think I have twice, maybe just oral antibiotics. And that, whereas before, I might have spent maybe 3 to 4 months a year in Beaumont Hospital.
And, Fergal, do these kinds of interventions work for everyone with cystic fibrosis if got at the right time? Or is this one drug that seems to particularly work well with Mark?
So there's a number of different modulators, and they work on the different gene types. So they cover most people with CF. The only concern is about 10 people that have gene types that aren't at this stage covered. So and as well, they don't suit everyone. You know, it's really good news for so many people, but some people just don't take well to the drugs, so there's still, you know, and the damage done for people that have had CF since they were born, it doesn't reverse that damage. So, yeah. So you know, it's not a total answer at this stage, but we're pushing on and we're doing more research all the time. And obviously, you know, the aim is that we get a cure for CF at some stage.
And presumably fundraising helps to do the kind of interventions that you talk of, the sports that you talk of. Do you also contribute to research in this area, Fergal, or are there other bodies that pursue that?
No, absolutely. We're involved in research and we work with lots of other people. But, you know, I suppose if you look at it globally, like the CF Foundation in the States would have been the driver of these modulators. They invested in research at a very early stage, and the drugs worked, and then they reinvested. So, you know, the power of the donations people make is having a direct impact on cystic fibrosis.
And are there also plans afoot for the construction of a CF hospital?
Well, there's CF units at various hospitals.
Facilities within the hospitals, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, particular CF beds, because people have to have their own isolated room. So, at the moment, we would be funding a unit that's to be built at the Beaumont Hospital in Dublin and also in Galway, an adult facility there. So, around the country, you know, units have been built over the past 10 years, and that's all by hard work on the ground. Like, it's, you say it's CFI, but it's really the volunteers going out there doing the work.
Well, those volunteers are out in force across the country selling purple roses in Donegal and elsewhere, of course, in Dun stores, shopping centres and other participating outlets nationwide. They include Dun stores, Fort Shopping Centre, Neil T. Blaney Road, Letterkenny, and Dun stores, Main Street, Old Town Road, Letterkenny. And I suppose, Mark, what we're asking, isn't it, if people see people out selling those roses today, if they have a few bob, to buy a couple of roses, because that money goes to CF Ireland and helps people like you and others and future generations as well.
Oh, absolutely. I'm heading down to the Dons at the bottom, Old Town, this afternoon myself as well. So if anyone's about.
Brilliant. Probably, say hello. Yeah. And
exactly, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And you're encouraging people too, if they have a few spare euros, Fergal, to support this cause.
Absolutely. Like, the volunteers are amazing. They go out, give their time, and, you know, people could support us. And if they don't see somebody out there with a rose, they can donate on 65roses.ie.
Remind me where the name 65 Roses come from. It's in there somewhere. I just can't bring it to the fore.
Yeah, it was basically a mother in America that was fundraising, and she kept saying, cystic fibrosis. I'm fundraising for cystic fibrosis. And her little child had CF. And he said, oh, mommy, I know what you're raising money for, the 65 roses.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's
it. And so then it was picked up internationally as the name for the day.
All right. Okay. Well, listen, Fergal, thank you so much for helping us spread the word today. And I hope there's a great response. We're always really generous in Donegal. So hopefully that persists today. Thank you so much.
But thanks a million, and thanks, Mark, for getting out there fundraising for us. I really appreciate it.
No, I think you should go now, Mark. I don't think the afternoon's enough. I think you should get down there, right? No, I'm only messing. Listen, great to see you continuing to do so well. Thanks. And thanks for coming in and help us to spread the word. If you spot people selling roses in Don stores in Nilty Blaney Road, which is the old one?
The Old Town.
The Old Town, right. Yeah. Okay, so Don's stores, Old Town, and then the other Don stores in the Fort Shopping Centre. If you can spare a few euro, please do, because things are improving, and they're improving for individuals and across the board, and it's not for everyone. But I suppose, Mark, with continued fundraising, continued research and supports, hopefully, you know, the picture changes even more positively.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well, all right. Thank you so much for calling up, Mark. Thanks, really do appreciate it. Okay, so keep an eye out for the volunteers. They're at either Dunn's in Letterkenny. Or you can go on to CFI's website, by the way, and help there if you're one of the many people that will be listening to us outside the Letterkenny area today. He's in studio with me is Krishna. Good morning, Krishna. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks very much for this.
Yes, indeed. Now, we invited you up initially to talk about your friend Abine, who was selling a vehicle online. Is that correct?
No, Abinay is my friend, and I'm the one who is selling the car.
You're the one selling the car. My apologies. Right, no, so you were selling the car. Someone came and took it for a test drive. Is that right?
So the thing is happened in this way. I posted it in the marketplace, and he, around 8 o'clock in the night, he messaged me that he's really interested and he wants to come for the viewing. And he said he needs to drive for 30 minutes or 40 minutes.
And that conversation went on for a bit, didn't it? He was really
on keen. It's on the Facebook marketplace. And then I agreed because I'm in my home and I have nowhere I need to move. I gave him the address and my phone number as well. And he came very late. He just keep on messaging me that there is a huge traffic on the way and it's getting late, and he's really interested. He showed a desperation in the kind of I'm traveling for like 2 hours. It's been 1.5 hours, but I'm stuck in traffic, but I want to really get interested in the car, and I'm looking to buy it for my wife as a birthday present. So he's really interested in that. So based on the discussion, I thought, okay, it will be fine. I'll be in my home only. I'll be just showing the car. And he eventually came up around 10:40 in the night. And then...
Did he do what you normally do? Some say it's kicking the tires. But, you know, go around the vehicle, everything looks all good. That all felt normal at that point, did it?
Everything felt normal. He is, like, checking everything under the bonnet. He's, like, on the backside as well. He's trying to go underneath the car and... acting, seeing something, but everything seemed to be like perfectly on the normal state that someone looks like someone is really desperate and interested to buy, and he's shaking everything. And we then took a little test ride like towards this mountain top for 2 kilometers or two, three kilometers, because I didn't really exactly remember the distance. But and then we went back again. Car was parked in my driveway. I took the keys and everything. And then he again started checking. He asked me to get into the car and just rev it. He wants to listen something under the bonnet, like the sound and everything, like the usual checking thing. He again checked for 5 minutes or so. And then he started about dealing the, asking about the price and negotiations. And we agreed upon a price. And he even said he'll send me some deposit today and collect it back on Friday.
Right.
And then he started again checking the tires. Something like he wants to check the brake pads particularly, and he started from the passenger side of the front and then all the way rotating. I'm just next to him, like a handful of distance, and we are like, he's going near the tire and checking something, and then immediately when the driver's side tire was checked, he asked me just to, he wants to just start and rev it once again to see some movement or something. And then I said car is on the, keys on the glove box, car is in the, and like it's a matter of like 2-3 seconds, he just immediately knocked into the car and locked it. I was just, I'm completely out of my mind, and I didn't expect it that I'm like knocking the on the window asking him to open, and it's just he just locked it and immediately reversed from my driveway. And yeah, it was like around at a very high speed. If someone is on the back side, he might have drived over them.
Wow. And this fella, Zaki, he called himself on Facebook.
Yes.
From Derry, living in Derry, he came down to Letterkenny to see the car. How did he get, dropped off?
Actually, what happened is like it's late. It got late in the night. Yeah. I actually gave him the address, the air code itself. And then he came to the address, but I definitely believe he came by himself, or there is no one else on the road.
Someone either dropped him some distance away or whatever it might be.
Yeah. And like he said, I'm outside your door near the car, and then I came out of my house. So.
And do you think he came down with the intention of stealing the car, or do you think he made that decision when he was there?
I definitely think that might be... that might be the attempt to deceive me, like checking everything in the night.
The test drive.
Yeah. Because on the test ride, because it's late in the night and we were sitting and having just had dinner, the other two of my housemates also with me, we three went outside. So I guess that's where, while going the test ride as well, it was a fortunate situation that two of others as well with me, so he didn't take any chance.
So he sped off. He could have run someone over, you don't know. He literally, Zaki Ace, vanished into the night.
Yes.
And then, obviously, immediately, did you call the Gardaí?
Yes, immediately I called the Gardaí, and they came, thanks for them as well. They came immediately, like within 5 to 10 minutes, they showed up at my place and then took all the statement and everything.
So... the appeal, people may well have seen the appeal. It was shared quite widely on Facebook. We had asked you to call up. At that time, the car was missing. Since then, has the car been found?
Yes. No idea that. I just got a call. I just reached back to the guard a little around 30 minutes back. And then they have an update that they found the car in a parking lot in Letterkenny itself. I don't know yet the exact exact condition or exact place where it was found, but they said they want to investigate more, like collecting the fingerprints and if there is any.
It's a crime scene now.
If there is anything there, and then they will contact me for the collection. So
And hopefully it hasn't been badly damaged. So we'll not give any details of the car at this point, because you may wish to sell it on into the future, and even if it's been not harmed at all, it might be a disadvantage, which we don't want for you either. A lot of us sell or buy cars this way.
Yeah, that's one
thing.
And
the problem is, how do you avoid it? Because this guy, he went out of his way to sort of make you feel relaxed.
Yes. So it's like around 20 minutes of discussion to just give that, show that desperation and show the real intention of a potential buyer.
Yeah.
That's what he did. So one thing I would like to ask, like maybe sharing my experience, is like, based on this kind of things happening, if he is coming in the night or reaching out in the night, maybe avoiding that would be a great one.
Yeah.
Because in the night there won't be traffic or anything. They can simply like, if it is on the daylight or something, I don't think he might be able to escape that easily. Traffic would have stopped him. And one more thing is like, be better, don't go alone. Because that was a fortunate situation for me, because other two of my friends are awake at the time and they just joined me because they are free and they just want to have fun.
And this is all based hopefully on the car being fine and not damaged.
Yes.
It's a remarkable story, isn't it?
Yes. I'm out of my mind entirely from that.
Yeah, it's just like, well, none of this is making sense. It's all, and the effort he went to and... waiting till you were on your own, going out and checking the car so he could get in while you were on the outside, speeding off. And the fact that the car was actually left in Letterkenny as well is also
strange. Like, strange. I'm not sure what his intention is. Maybe I need to...
I mean, it's a lovely car, but it's not... It's you know what I mean? Like, was it just for a run around Letterkenny? Yes. Do you know? Is his profile gone from Facebook now?
Yes. He, within 30 minutes or so, profile was deactivated as well, and profile was fake. Like, maybe if I'm buying the car, I'll go into the profile and check. When I'm selling, I didn't even have that intention or a doubt that I need to check the buyer's profile
as well. Even in, because I was doing a bit of stuff on Facebook Market and didn't end up buying anything through it. It can be quite convoluted to get through to someone's profile from the marketplace, yes. I find. And, yes. and you know, it's not like it necessarily directly leads it so you could check for mutual friends or stuff, yes. do you know? They could probably streamline that a little bit, I think, yeah. so that you yes. can, it's easier to it's check easier. That the person, it's, you know, it's not just a brand new profile. You can, but it's quite convoluted. But that being said, Krishna, I think the way this person carried themselves, I think any of us could have been done the same way. I'm not yeah. really sure there's anything else yes. you could have done, because he even went with him on the test drive. Yes. Do you know what I mean? And a lot yes. of people don't do that.
Yes.
And some do, some don't. You know, yeah. I've just been handed the keys and away you go.
I guess only thing that he is waiting is to get that chance to get into the car, because
yeah.
it could be a different situation. If I just went alone, he might have thrown me away. Anything could happen. It's mm-hmm. in the night. No one. Yeah, it's like.
Okay, well, listen, I mean, at the end of the day, the Garda investigation is ongoing. It doesn't stop just because the car's been found. So if you did see this, what colour vehicle was it?
Black.
A black Mercedes E200 Avantgarde. If you see that being parked up or someone walking away from it, or you have any information, please let the Garda know, because, as I say, this person, if they've done it once, they may well do it again. It's just it's a strange one, Krishna, and I think yeah. you're sort of trying to figure it all out in yeah. your own head as well, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant stuff. Listen, I just hope the car's perfect.
Yeah. Yes.
It most likely isn't, yes, and fingers definitely. Crossed, once the guards get through it, hopefully the biggest job is cleaning up the fingerprint yeah. dust and yeah. stuff like that. But sure, listen, yeah. Krishna, thanks for coming in, sharing yeah. the story, and spreading the warning as well, because
yeah.
These people are prepared to put a lot of time into it, even the phone calls beforehand. I'll be yes. there in a bit, the traffic, blah, you know what I mean?
It's like he isn't completely in contact with me, messaging me that he's stuck in traffic every yeah. 15, 20 minutes, and he wants to be there to... He really wants to buy.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Really.
All right, Krishna, listen, thanks for that, buddy. Appreciate your time. Yeah.